Oh man, I tell you what, if you would have known me in the first 10 or 12 years of my, 10 years ago, let me say, you would have thought that guy was my financial counselor. You know, what he was talking about is some of the things that I was doing. In fact, when Julie and I got married, you know, we understood finances. I mean, we understood, you know, how money worked. We were good, reasonably good at math. And yet, we were just following what the rest of America was doing. We're spending, you know, 25, 30% above what we were bringing in on our paychecks and thought, well, there's going to be time to pay for that later. And it was amazing how we got ourselves in a situation that probably many of us relate to. In fact, if you carry any debt right now, you probably can relate a little bit to some of the humor in that, though maybe it's not that humorous, but we definitely can relate to the bondage of what debt creates in our lives. And I know for some of us, you might be thinking, well, what does this have to do with God? I mean, why are we talking about this in church? Let me just be really clear that, you know, God has everything to do with your debt situation, all right? Everything. In fact, one of the things that I discovered is that, you know, this wasn't really an intellectual issue, all right? I understood math, I understood money. I would even argue that when it comes to debt, this isn't really a behavior issue. I mean, that might be a little part of it, and there might be some behaviors that need to change, but what I discovered is that debt really has more to do with a heart issue than anything else. And it was only after I began to talk to God about my debt and I looked in the wisdom from the Bible and I began to open up in community to other people, you know, people that knew me really well about where I was, where we were, and what we were facing, that I began to create a journey toward freedom like I'd never experienced before. And one of the verses that became very, you know, powerful to me through this whole process, we found in Haggai, this little book in the Old Testament by the name of Haggai. And Haggai was a prophet to the nation of Israel. This is thousands and thousands of years ago. And yet he was talking to people about the relationship they have with their money and with their stuff. In fact, I want to read it for you. I want you to imagine as you hear these words this morning that Haggai is speaking this to us here today in 2014. Listen to these words. Haggai chapter 1, begin with verse 5. He writes, "Now this is what the Lord Almighty says, give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says, give careful thought to your ways." Now, I tell you what, when I was in debt, that was a great description of how I felt. And I mean, we made decent money. I mean, it's not like we were dirt poor. I mean, I was pastor, Julie was, you know, a teacher. But it's not like we were rolling in the cash. And yet, every time we got a paycheck, there were names on that paycheck before it ever went on our bank account. And there were names I didn't like. I mean, there were names like MasterCard and Citibank. And I literally felt like that description right there. Like, I was putting money into a purse that had holes in it, and it was just seeping on through the moment that we put it in there. And maybe you can identify with that. Maybe you've felt that way or are feeling that way today. And, you know, the thing that changed everything for me was actually what the prophet Haggai says at the beginning and the end of this passage right here. Look at his last words. He says, give careful thought to your ways. Give careful thought to your ways. See, it was only then that I began to realize, man, this is not an intellectual issue. He says, give careful thought. This isn't just a behavioral issue. This isn't just what I'm doing, but this is actually something that has to do with what's going on in my heart. And so what I want us to see today is that you know, God is concerned about us paying down our credit cards and our debt to zero, but that's not his biggest concern. He is concerned with that, but his biggest concern is actually that we are free. Because when we are under debt, we are in bondage. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, man, Kurt, I don't carry a large amount of debt. I don't have any credit card debt. So I get a free pass that I can check out. Well, not so quick. Because some of the things we're going to look at today also, see, you can have high credit card balances. You can have no credit card balances. But you can also be so fixated on your savings and whether you always feel like, man, I need more savings to feel secure, that you're also missing freedom when it comes to your finances. And so what I want us to see today is we're going to tackle specifically debt, but I want us to see that God's ultimate plan isn't just that we have zero balances, but that there's a change of habit and a change of heart that actually leads to freedom. Now, the way we're going to do that today is we're going to look at a couple of stories of people who have experienced this in their lives. And these stories come from one of our partner churches who has been alongside in this journey. And as you watch these stories, I want you to see, especially if you deal with debt or have debt hovering over your life, I want you to identify some of the aggressive ways that they actually tackle their debt and see if we can get some footholds and getting out from the bondage of debt. And so before we do that, I want to pray for us today and just ask God to join us here through the remainder of our time. God, thank you that we come into a place like this and we can talk about things that actually make a difference, things that we can actually do to get traction in life. And God, I pray that in these next few minutes, you would help us to see how we can be free. Give us a picture of freedom, whether that's freedom from debt that is in our lives that's oppressive, or maybe it's freedom from, our always fixating on how we constantly need more in our savings account, and we're so fixated on that that we again are in bondage. And God, so wherever we fall on that, God, I just pray that you would meet us there, give us a picture of freedom. And God, specifically, I want to pray for anybody that feels the weight of their debt situation right now. I want to pray that you would help them see a way out through your wisdom, through what we hear from your word today and what we can gain from the experiences of other people. Pray these things in your name and according to the character of the person of Jesus. Amen.
Well, about 4 or 5 years ago, we were in a pretty bad financial shape as far as our debt was concerned. We had about $75,000 in credit card debt. We had 2 car loans and a mortgage. And we decided that we needed to try to do something to get rid of that.
We loved to travel, we enjoyed eating out, and it was so easy for us just to swipe a credit card. And before we knew, we were in this huge financial debt. The first time McDonald's started taking credit cards, I thought, who's going to charge McDonald's? Who's going to put $1.35 or $4 or whatever it is on their credit card? I became one of those people, to where I would swipe my card because it was so easy to do that for a Big Mac or a cup of coffee. And I think at that point, it kind of hit home for me that, I don't even have the extra cash to buy a cup of coffee. I have to put on my credit card. And it just kept mounting up and mounting up. And then somebody said to me, do you realize that that cup of coffee that you're putting on your credit card now, it may take you 3 years to pay it off, or that lunch or whatever it is? And I think that's when we got to that point, and we were both making great money, but we were spending more than we were making, and it was just so easy to do. We didn't realize it when we were in the middle of it until we got on the other side of it, the effect that it had on our marriage. I think that we were both kind of blaming each other how we got there. We got to a point because it was so overwhelming that we really didn't talk about it because neither one of us wanted to admit that it was the problem that it was. And so we just ignored it, and we were basically just, kind of eking along and not communicating with each other and just really struggling. And it just really started to, I think in hindsight, really started to affect our relationship. We got to class the first night, and there was probably maybe like 20 people in the class. It was made up of, single moms, couples, whatever. And the minister who happened to be running the class, he wanted everybody just to shout out a number. He was going to write it on a whiteboard of how much debt everybody had. And Jeff and I looked at each other and we thought, okay, one of the things that we committed to do, we were going to be honest about it. And he was facing the board and we said 75. And everybody just held their breath and he wrote it up there and everybody turned around and looked at us. And it was like this really sobering moment for us. And at that point, we made the decision that if we were able to get out of debt, one of the things we were going to do was share our story with people, because we felt like it really kind of gave us kind of a jumping off point to help ourselves, but also to help somebody else.
We decided to tithe in the midst of us not having any extra money. But we did a lot of praying, and we decided this was something we're going to do. And I think in some ways, or a lot of ways, that helped us get to where we are today.
I remember that first time we were at the checkout, and we were driving to church on a Sunday morning, and we were right in the middle of the course, and just all this struggle, and us saying, okay, this is what our tithe would be, and writing that out, and looking at that number thinking, gosh, there's so much that I could do with that, and pay towards our debt, and putting it in there. And it was kind of one of those things that we didn't really have the money to pay it, but it just kept coming. And before long, we were like, gosh, we're halfway out of debt. We're all the way out of debt. And it's, you know, we've never really looked back, have we?
No.
I mean, it's still the one check that I write out, that we write out every week. And God has just...
really blessed
us. Really blessed us with it.
Now, along the way, she got... Beverly got some unexpected bonuses. I got two unexpected bonuses. All those went to the credit card debt. Mm-hmm.
I took on extra tax work
and all that. All of my extra work went to pay off the credit mm-hmm. cards. And fortunately for us, in a period of about 2.5 years, we were able to eliminate all the credit card debt.
Tell me what it feels like now to be
It changes your life. I mean,
it's total freedom. I mean, it's amazing how you don't have the worries about money like you did before.
All right, so let me get this straight. $75,000 in 2.5 years. I mean, is that absolutely amazing? $75,000. I want us to take a page out of Jeff and Beverly's story right there. I want you to just turn to somebody next to you, look at them in the eye, and tell them exactly how much debt you are in right now. Go ahead. Oh, I'm just kidding. Whoa, all right. Now, some of you actually did that in the front rows. I'm like, whoa, you're starting to tell this. I'm not going to freak you out like that, all right? I know. Listen, I was in a conference a few years ago where they actually said that. They're like, hey, just turn to the person next to you and tell them exactly how much debt you're in right now. And man, the whole place just started going crazy. Everybody was like, whoa. And I remember sitting there thinking, oh my word, there is no way. I mean, there is no way I'm going to sit here right now and tell the person next to me how much debt I'm in. And I was sitting next to my wife, all right? So sometimes we don't want to tell our spouse. These are things we hide from our spouses. And it's interesting. I love that Jeff and Beverly are willing to go there and talk about this. When was the last time you had a healthy conversation with somebody about how much money you make? All right, when's the last time you had a healthy conversation with somebody about, you know, your financial dreams and aspirations? When's the last time you did have a conversation, a healthy conversation about how much debt you're in? I mean, we don't have these conversations. Let me tell you what the answer to all of those is. Likely never. Because you see, we don't talk about things. You know why we don't talk about these things? Listen, we just came off a sex series, right? A month and a half ago, we were talking about sex, good sex. I mean, we'll talk about sex all day and night, right? I mean, you guys love to hear me talk about sex, most of you at least. You know, you'll talk about it yourselves. Man, how much money do you make? Oh, I don't talk about that. How much debt are you in? Oh, I don't know. That's not something I really share. Why is that? Let me tell you why it is. It's because we're addicts. We're addicts. You know what addicts do? Addicts always keep things in isolation. Addicts never share things and bring them out into the open. Right? You and I, we're addicts. And you know, when we begin to live in that place where we're hiding things, we begin to feel ashamed. And it's interesting because, you know, we begin to feel like I've got to keep that to myself. I can't share that to anybody. In fact, I love the fact that Jeff and Bev actually shared their number, and they even committed to share the number. I mean, because one of the things they did was they let the community around them build into them. And if we're going to get to a place of freedom when it comes to our debt, one of the very first powerful steps, and give you two steps today, the first powerful step is we must open up in community. We must open up in community. You know, in AA, there's this idea that you're only as sick as your sickest secret. Right? You're only as sick as your sickest secret. And I can relate to that. You know, whether it's debt that I've had in my life or other things, you know, there's something that happens when I bring something into the light and I no longer keep it isolated, keep it hidden away, but actually shed light on it. And you know, one of the things I've discovered is when I shed light on things that have been hidden, all of a sudden the shame that I feel about that thing begins to get a little quieter. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, when we begin to shed light on something that's been hidden in the dark, it's like there's a power. The power of the shame of that particular scenario begins to become less and less until it's diminished. And let me just say that if you're here this morning and you're feeling a little bit of shame, you know, based on your financial situation or your financial past or the decisions you've made, or when you hear the word debt, you feel shame. Let me just tell you, that is not from God. All right, God, that is not from God. God is not a God who brings shame. God is actually a God who wants us to experience freedom. All right, there's another force at work in the world that wants you to feel bad, that wants you to keep it hidden. Because as long as you keep it hidden, then it will never get addressed. And you'll continue to deal with that, and you'll continue to feel that shame. God wants us to open up and bring these things out in community because there's power that takes place when that happens. There's also something else that takes place very powerfully that we read about in the book of Proverbs, chapter 15. Here's what it says. It says, plans fail for lack of counsel. Counsel is, you know, community. It's sharing with somebody else. But with many advisors, when I begin to share this in community, they succeed. So plans fail for lack of, when I keep things hidden, but when I reach out and receive advice from advisors, we begin to succeed. See, there's actually something that happens when we open up in community. We actually receive wise counsel. And one of the things we begin to realize is I'm not alone in this debt journey. I'm not alone in addressing this thing that I'm feeling a little bit of shame about, so I keep it hidden away. But as I bring it out into the open, people around me who've maybe experienced the same thing can begin to breathe life into me. And it begins to break the bondage and lead me on a path to freedom. Second thing we have to do if we want to get free financially, if we want to get out from under the burden of debt, is we have to work a proven plan. We have to work a proven plan. Now, Jeff and Bev, they talked about going to a class, and it doesn't matter what class it is. There are all kinds of classes. They mentioned, I think, Crown Ministries maybe, or Financial Peace. You know, there's Dave Ramsey. We have something here at Crosspoint. We have a free financial counseling program that is based on a program that's got a really good name. It's called I Was Broke, and Now I'm Not. And so it's kind of like, hey, if you're broke, then you go to the program and so that you cannot be broke anymore. It's a really simple program, but it's fascinating because we have, you know, trained financial counselors who will come alongside you, and they will actually help you look at your finances, income and outgo, and identify some of the places you can begin to cut back in order to throw as much money as possible at your debt so that you can create a plan, and then they will walk alongside you as you go from being broke to not being broke anymore. I mean, it's a really crazy thing. Who would have thought? I was broken, now I'm not. It works wonders. In fact, it's one of our next steps today. If you're here at Crosspoint during this journey, every week our next steps are really the same. They're, you know, I'm going to attend services next weekend. I'm going to go to my small group. I'm going to do the take-home work. This week we've added another one, which is, you know, if you're interested in meeting with one of our trained financial counselors, mark that on your next steps, and they will contact you. This will be a confidential meeting, but they will begin to work with you to identify a plan. You've got to work a proven plan. Now listen to how the Bible talks about how we're to attack our debt when we realize that we're indebted in our lives. All right, see, there's this whole collection of wisdom in the Bible that comes from the book of Proverbs. And it's just all these wise things. And it talks specifically about this issue of being in debt. Here's what our response should be. Take a look at this in Proverbs 6, beginning with verse 1 and following. This writer of wisdom says, my son, if you've put up security for your neighbor, if you've shaken hands in a pledge for a stranger, so basically if you've entered into an agreement where you are now indebted to someone, if you have been trapped by what you said, ensnared by the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, to free yourself. Since you have fallen into your neighbor's hands, go to the point of exhaustion. Don't give your neighbor, give your neighbor no rest and allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. And then here's the key phrase right here. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of a hunter. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. Do you get the urgency around this right here? I mean, he's saying, man, there's some work involved right here. He says, free yourself. He says, when you begin to realize, man, I'm trapped, I've been caught, I'm ensnared by debt, you need to do everything possible to free yourself. I used to love watching the Animal Planet. Anybody else like watching Animal Planet? Anyone? When I had cable, I used to watch the Animal Planet all the time when nothing else was on. Usually it was like late at night. And one of the coolest things I enjoyed watching was when the cheetah, everybody always, you know, remember the cheetah episodes where cheetah would come on off the African plain and you know, he'd see the gazelle standing in the reeds and the narrator would get like a real quiet voice and start whispering. He's like, and the cheetah came off the plain and he noticed the gazelle wandering through the reeds, and like the anticipation is building, you know, and you're, let me tell you what I never saw happen, all right? What happens when that gazelle notices there's a cheetah that's got him in his sights? What's that gazelle do? He butt puckers, right? I mean, he like puckers right up, and I mean, he sits right up, and he starts looking around. You know what you never see the gazelle do? The gazelle never just stands there or goes over to his friends and says, hey, what do you think I had to do right here? Should I go left? Should I go right? I think I'll decide what I'm going to do later today. You know, no, what does a gazelle do? I mean, when that gazelle sees the cheetah through the reeds, he puckers up And baby, he runs, right? I mean, he runs. And that's what the writer of wisdom is saying here. When you realize that you are ensnared in the, you know, you've been caught by the hunter, he says, baby, it's time to run. That's the intensity with which we have to address the debt in our lives. Now, what does that look like? All right, this could be all kinds of debt, revolving debt. Maybe you've got, you know, all kinds of car loans, all kinds of mortgages in addition to a home. I mean, not all debt is bad, but when we begin to accumulate too much debt, then all of a sudden we find ourselves in bondage. What do we do? What do we do? Well, it means that there might be some things that need to change and need to change now. Even things like, you know, maybe you eat out all the time. Maybe that's a place thing that needs to change and needs to change right now. You know, calculating how much could I save from eating out this meal to cooking at home, and then how do I save that and throw all of that money every time I save it at my debt? Right, that's one of the things we can do. We can also take the applied wisdom from other people. There's people that have created, you know, emergency savings accounts where you're like, well, how do I save if I'm in debt? Well, you just put a little emergency savings account aside that can take care of little emergencies. You know, it's $500. It's $1,000. So the next time your car breaks down, then you actually go and use your own money instead of, you know, living off the generosity of Citibank. Right? And it's things like, and here's a hard one, this is a hard one, some of us don't like this, you're going to kick back, I know, you cut up the credit cards. Right? Credit cards in and of themselves are not evil, but the ability for us to manage them can get us in a lot of trouble. And so one of the steps we might have to do and might have to do now is to actually cut up the credit cards. Jeff and Bev, one of the things they talked about is the debt snowball. They used the debt snowball, where they listed all of their debts from the smallest to the largest. And then they began paying the minimum payment on all of them except the smallest one. And all of the cash that they saved from beginning to adjust their lifestyle, from getting rid of certain things that maybe they really didn't need, they threw all of that cash every month at the smallest debt in order to pay it off the quickest. And then everything that's going to that debt goes to the second largest debt. And before long, you pay off the snowball. See, I mean, these are just some things that people have done that actually work. And I know you might be sitting here thinking, well, Kirk, come on, $75,000 in 2.5 years. How, there's no way I could do that. Well, maybe that's not going to be your time frame. I don't know what your time frame on it will be. But listen, when you begin to open up in community and you begin to establish a plan, and then you begin to work that plan, let me tell you what, I know this from personal experience. You can get your debt to zero. You can get it to zero. And this freedom begins to be experienced as we make a change in our habits as well as a change in our heart. Now, another story I want us to see this morning is a story of someone who's still in this process, and it's a great picture of somebody who's had a change of heart amidst their debt situation. Take a look at Shauna's story.
I was 18 when I left home, and I did not have a clear foundation of anything. It was just, I'm out, I'm on my own. I even went to college and just wasted money. So it was never a focus on have a career, have a savings, have a plan. It was just work, work, work. I found myself 28 years old, out of work, a baby, single parent, and it's like, okay, where do I go from here? Up until the point I had my son, I had worked. But because of complications during the pregnancy, I basically had to leave my job. I paid my bills, but I never saved anything. And it wasn't that I splurged or spent it anywhere. I just never sat down, wrote out a plan, what to do with the money. I never gave it a title as to where it was supposed to go. I just paid bills, you know, and I ate. And then I had my son, and it was like, okay, I have no money. What am I going to do? I'm by myself. What am I going to do? I struggled so much. I was like, I just can't take this. At one point, I felt like I was losing my mind. I actually went to the doctor. I was too embarrassed to ask for an antidepressant. And then I felt like, don't ask for it because you can't afford to pay for it anyway. So it was like, I don't know what to do at this point. And I just got into such a deep depression. I was like, it's got to be a way out of this. But I never had a problem asking for help. I never knew to ask, can you help me create a financial foundation? I just asked God for help, and help came. The Financial Peace University, it just fell in my lap. I got an email, hey, we're trying a pilot program. Do you want to come? The program is more than I can afford, and it fell in my lap. That was definitely God. And what I started doing was I started making a list of what was coming in and how it was to go out so I can see where it was. So what I did from there was like, okay, now what do I do with this remaining amount of money? I still haven't worked that out yet, but it's like I started adding a name to everything that I was spending because it was like I refuse to be poor for the rest of my life. I refuse to say I'm broke. My aunt always told me that don't say you're broke, your money is in circulation. I'm like, well, if it's in circulation and it's coming back to me, I need to find out where it's at and what am I doing with it, because I'm like, if it's circulating, hey, where is it at? Because I said, I don't want to be in a position where I'm paying all my bills and I can't feed us. People have come to my rescue in a sense, like they're just here just to listen, or they're here to offer a hand, or they show me where to go or what have you, what to do, give me a clear plan on my life. And that's something that I just never had, and I have that now, and I'm grateful. I'm not as stressed out as I was. I know, you know, it's like I said, it's still a growth process. I know that I still can't afford the things that we need, but I know that there's hope that we will get to that point. The feeling that I have is just not being stressed out. I can enjoy coming home. I have a 6-year-old. He has special needs. And if I'm stressed out, what am I giving to him? If I'm stressed out, what am I giving to God? My future plans are to go back to school. So I believe with all my heart that all the debt that I have is going to be erased.
If you want to know what freedom looks like, that's freedom right there. You can see it in her eyes. And what's cool about that is she's still working through her situation, and yet there's a freedom that has come. Remember when we first began this morning, we talked about this prophet Haggai who was talking about, you know, when we're in debt, it's like we receive money, but it just goes through the purse. Well, there's another picture. And see, here's the thing. You can be at a place where you have incredibly high credit card debt or other debt in your life, or you can be a place where you have zero balance and yet you're still not free. So you can be in a place where you have incredibly high debt, and it's just like somebody who's fixating over their savings account, thinking, oh man, I need more. I've got to continue to accumulate more, because you've never learned what it means to depend on the generosity of God. And so in Isaiah the prophet gives us a different picture than the prophet Haggai. And this is God's alternative that's actually available to us. Here's what Isaiah says, Isaiah 55, beginning with verse 1. He says, come, all of you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. See, one of the things that I had to come to realize in my life was I was trying to fill a void with things that I could purchase on plastic that God never intended to be filled with those things. And I could justify it all. I'm like, oh man, you know, some of it was superfluous spending, some of it was just life happened. But the bottom line was I had to come to the place of saying, God, man, I've really tried to, there are certain things I've bought, certain things I've purchased, certain trips, you know, you name it, that I've tried to use to create a satisfaction or a fulfillment or to fill a void. And it was a void that's uniquely designed only to be filled by God. And so the invitation that God is giving us here in Isaiah is he's saying, hey, you can come and freely receive what you've been trying to meet with things. You can come, and God's saying, I want to meet them for you, but I want to meet them through my generosity, not through the generosity of Citibank. And that began to change things for us. In fact, let me tell you why I showed you Beverly and Jeff's story a few minutes ago. The reason I wanted to show you that to you this morning is because 6 years ago this month, 6 years ago, the 1st of November, Julie and I watched that story, and we began, as a result of that story, to tackle our debt. I saw that story, and I saw Jeff and Beverly, and I saw them talking and beginning to have a hope, and I said, I want their story to be my story. See, Julie and I privately, secretly, you know, in the first 12 years of our marriage, it accumulated over $44,000 in revolving debt. And we just kept, you know, we transferred it from one card to the next. We're trying to just manage it. I mean, it was literally like the purse that had holes in it. And we saw that story, and we said, you know, we don't want to live this way any longer. So the 1st of November, 2008, I called a financial counselor, one of the hardest calls I've ever made. Talk about, you know, the vulnerability in community, just sharing with someone, here's how much I'm in debt. And then developing a plan that looks at how much income we have and how much expenses go out every month and how we can begin to, you know, listen to the wisdom of them saying, hey, could you cut this out and could you cut that out? You know, things that we enjoyed but didn't have to have in order that we could throw as much as possible at our debt. And here's the cool part of the story. Here's the cool part of the story. 3.5 years later, 42 months later, May 2012, we wrote our final check. It was equivalent to like our mortgage. We'd been paying for 42 months, and we wrote our final check and paid every single penny of that debt off. Crazy. I don't know how it happened. I'm going to be honest with you. I still stand here and say, how did we do that? Well, we didn't do it. See, God, I was always praying that, God, man, could you just like let somebody die in our family and give me a large sum of money, you know, some of my, I mean, I was doing crazy things. Man, I really wanted people to die. But you do crazy things when you're in debt. And you're like, God, would you just solve this with a silver bullet? It wasn't a silver bullet. It was the hard work of getting down to the heart issue. And yet, it wasn't the zero balances on the credit cards that was so cool. I mean, that was really cool. But what was even more cool is what God began to develop in us through the process. See, Julie and I did something as we began that journey that we had never done before. And we cut up our credit cards, which that's not the thing, but we cut up our credit cards. We just said, we're done. We're not going to take credit cards. We're going to cut them up, not going to use them anymore so we can pay them down. And the thing that we did, though, is we were scheduled to go on a vacation with a few of our friends down in Florida. We were renting a house together over the Christmas holidays. And that was about 2 months after we started this journey toward debt-free, you know, toward being free of our debt. And so all of our available cash, we were throwing at our debt as aggressively as possible. And so we were really struggling with whether or not we were going to be able to go on this trip with our friends. In fact, we initially actually opted out of it. We talked to our friends, another hard conversation. Guys, we're not going to be able to afford to do this. We just can't right now. And you know, we're really struggling because it wasn't, you know, we wanted to go and we wanted to enjoy the community that we were going to experience with them, but we just didn't feel like we could pull it off. And then I got a Christmas bonus, and Julie got a Christmas bonus, and it just happened to be almost identically what we needed to pay for the rest of our expenses to make this trip with our friends. And so we struggled. Do we throw this at debt, or do we take some downtime to rest and recover? And we just felt like in that moment, God was saying, hey, you've got a plan. You're working the plan. This is my generosity. You need to take the vacation. And so we did. We told our friends, hey, we're in. You know, we budgeted out how much it was going to cost us to stay, you know, for the rest of the payment for the house, you know, how much we needed to travel for some of our entertainment. But I tell you what, we only had a small amount set aside for an emergency. And here's where God grew us. Here's what happened that we'd never done before. We, for the first time, drove out of town without credit cards in our pocket. And I got to Louisville. And I remember getting to Louisville thinking, oh, my word, God, what happens if our van breaks down? I mean, we've only got a few $100s and, you know, as an emergency fund. It's like God saying, hey, you've got this. You've got this plan. You've got this. I've got you. We drove a little further to Nashville, and we're driving into Nashville. I'm like, oh, my word, I've never been more than 4 hours from home without any credit cards in my pocket. And it's like God said again, Kurt, you've got this. I'm like, but God, what if one of my kids gets sick? What if we have an unexpected medical deal? I mean, it's like God was saying, hey, do you not trust me? Am I not going to take care of you? You've got a plan. You got to trust in me. And for the very first time, with every hour that we traveled further away from home, God grew our trust for his generosity. And I began to realize something in that moment. I realized for the very first time that I don't know that I had ever trusted God with my finances in my life. I mean, I'd tithed, I'd given, I'd, you know, said I trusted God, but for the first time, I was leaving town without the security of Citibank, without the security of someone else who's gonna, I'm gonna trust on Visa's generosity. And for the first time, I'm trusting that God, with our plan, will be generous and take care of whatever we need. And that's God's invitation to us this morning. Wherever you fall on this morning, you know, God wants us to be invited. He invites us into experiencing his generosity. And you might have tons and tons of debt, similar to what we had, and you need to get a plan to pay that down and begin trusting in God for his generosity, not in a plastic card. Or maybe you don't have any debt, but you are constantly fixating on your retirement, constantly fixating on how much savings you do or don't have, constantly thinking, I need more to be secure. And I think the invitation is the same. God's saying, I want you to trust in me for your security. I want you to trust in me for generosity. In fact, we're going to sing this song that it kind of captures this invitation. And God's invitation is always the same. But you know, whether you're feeling the weight of debt or the weight of always feeling like you need more savings, God says, come out of sadness. Come out of the weight of this, the depression, wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted and let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. And so I invite you to stand with me, and we're going to sing these words. But this is the invitation, and maybe for the first time today for you. There's more work to be done if you're in debt and need to develop a plan, but maybe for the first time, like Julie and I did 6 years ago today, we made the decision to say, God, I'm going to for the first time begin to trust you, and I'm going to ask for your guidance, and I'm going to ask for you to begin to take me out of this and let me begin to experience your generosity in a way that I've never experienced before. So let's sing this together.